And we're live. Welcome back to Sis
Bro
Show,
a comedy
duo.
That's good.
Nailed it. So right before we hit record, we were debating on what to talk about.
Our topic is about our topic.
So when you guys are trying to come up with the topic, what do you do?
Yeah, if everyone's wondering how I come up with topics, I was just telling Megan how I was legit just looking around the room going, what's in here? What is that? Lamp.
I think about the, what were they, vultures on Jungle Book?
Oh, don't start that again.
Yeah. With their 60s hair. Because the cartoon did come out in the 60s.
Were they supposed to be like the Beatles or something?
Something like that. They were, you know, they sang, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think they did any Beatles hits, though.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I think that had been about some probably copyright issues.
One of them was bald, too, I think.
Well, right. I can't remember what they look like. I mean, I know they're birds. I know they're vultures.
They had, like, the Beatles haircuts, except for one was bald. And they had English accents, but they were
I remember that.
They were not in England.
Oh, I remember what I wanted to. There's something I didn't get to mention in the last podcast. You know, we're talking about self-motivation and trying anything and everything to just take your mind off stuff, make you feel better. And I had come across this this saying, which I was like, that'd be a really good mantra. I don't even know if I really like fully remember it. But I wanted to say it.
Okay.
All right. So you got to say it in like a Scottish or Irish accent because it makes it sound better, like kind of brave hearty.
Oh, gotcha.
All right. All right. So here we go. All right. Let me see if I can remember it. Hang on. Give me a second. It's what is it? I've been trying to remember it as my mantra. Hang on. I got it.
The suspense is killing me.
I know, right? I'm the master of suspense. Eat your heart out, Stephen King. All right. It starts out with, let me not pray. Hang on, I got to do the accent too. Mm-hmm. Let me not pray.
Oh, God.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right, hang on, wait. I can find this. I'm just going to find it and read it.
In the accent.
In the accent, because I'm pretty sure that's how they show it. It's like a YouTube video. Where is it? There it is. All right. I'm just going to mute it so I can read it myself. All right. Here we go. Back it up a little bit. There we go. All right. Let me not pray to be sheltered from dangers, but to be fearless in facing them. Let me not beg for the stilling of my pain, but for the heart to conquer it. Let me not look to allies in life's battlefield, but to my own strength. Let me not crave an anxious fear to be saved, but to hope for the patience to win my freedom. That's good, right?
That's great.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, I got to memorize it, but I thought I had it down the other night. And then I went to go say it again. I was like, fuck, what was that?
How did that go again?
Something about begging or praying. Yeah, so mantras, trying to find a mantra, something. And that one kind of like, it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so. The accent, really.
It sells it, right? Uh-huh. I picture like legit Mel Gibson from Braveheart, like saying it to me. And I'm like, you know what, Mel Gibson from Braveheart? You're right. I don't remember his character's name from Braveheart. What was his character's name?
Oh, it was like a regular name, right? It wasn't like...
Gerald?
Yep, that's it.
Gerald the Braveheart? That was the title? That's why they call the movie Braveheart, right? Mm-hmm. God, what was it?
Gerald. Yep.
Oh, Gerald.
That sounds about Gerald? Right.
Oh, here's old Gerald. Yeah, so I wanted to bring that one up and also encourage people who may be going through hard times to, you know, take down notes of, you know, good like sayings and reminders and find something that resonates with you as a mantra that you can say to yourself and try and remember it better than I.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, mine's so, just short and sweet, like just, I mean.
Just do it? Are you going to go all Nike?
kind of, yeah. I mean. Don't sit around and think about it. Just do it. Like, yeah, you say you're going to do something, do it.
Nike's pretty popular. They're probably onto something.
Right, right. And my other one now for poker, and I didn't come up with this. Somebody else did. I can't remember who it was. But he says, if you're not thinking about the actions that you're doing in poker, then you're gambling.
Did not say that.
Huh?
I was going to claim that. I was going to be like, oh, that, I totally said that, but I didn't say that. That was smart.
Yeah, I've been like reading a lot about poker and taking some poker classes just to learn more about people's body language. And one of the like main tells I've learned is when somebody looks at their cards, if they look at their chips right after they look at their cards, they have a really good hand. Because they're thinking about how trying much.
Size up, how much they're going to. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm.
That's why you did not learn online.
Exactly. It's hard to do that online. That's why it's like a whole different ballgame in person because you can actually see people's tails and you yourself can actually have tails that you have to learn how to control.
Yeah. We can just do weird shit like the robot.
I found out that my tail, like I started learning it myself, was right after I look at my cards. If I just like put them down real quick and look around, that means I got a good hand.
But I know my tail.
What is it?
Mine is I look at my cards and then I look up grinning and I start jittering around and I go, ooh. That means I got a good.
You know, I started like rubbing my hands together, you know?
Like all like an evil genius.
I started doing it when I had good cards and when I was bluffing. So people didn't know.
Yep, gotta throw them for a loop. That's what I'm saying. Every once in a while, just throw in the robot. Look at your cards and be like, oop, me boop, me boop, me doop, doop.
And like the second time that I went to a table, there was a guy there that folded whenever I would raise it. Like after the river, I raised it and he folded. I would turn my cards over so that they could see that I wasn't bluffing. That way, when I raised it again and I was bluffing, they would think that I wasn't.
You weren't.
Yeah.
Very clever. Very clever.
I still have a lot to learn. And I've also learned that poker players, they're always learning new things too. Because you're always playing with different people and different people have different tails and different ways that they play. So you can never be at the top of your game in poker. You can always be learning.
I know my tail when I have a bad hand. Look at my cards and I go, God damn it.
Well, I mean, any hand is a good hand, just depends on how you play it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I suppose, yeah.
Yep. And like, I've just been doing things myself too. Like, if I've decided like to put in the big blind. If I'm going to call it before the flop, I will only call it if somebody raises it, I'll call them too. So I won't call it if somebody's going to raise it. If I think somebody might raise it, I just won't. I'll just fold my hand.
I used to have this thing I used to do that worked out pretty well. You kind of had to use it in moderation online. But if I did have a good hand, I would do a slow raise and see if I could get anyone to bite and try and either raise me back. Or because as soon as they call and match that first raise, like they're kind of almost all the way in. So then you up the ante on the next one.
Right.
I mean, it's a little risky because you're giving them the opportunity to kind of turn around on you, but it kind of draws people in to kind of put the finisher on them.
Right. That's
one of my favorite things to do online is to just, you know, I had a really good hand and I would just bet, you know, a small amount, a little bit, and then someone would turn around and like raise me and I'd raise them back a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of turned into this pissing contest. And then right. It turned out ba-bam. Oh, did you ba-bam anyone?
I didn't. I thought about it, but I didn't. No.
I totally would. I would totally ba-bam people.
Well, you need to come to Cherokee. I wonder how far Cherokee is from you.
In this economy? I knew I was going to get it in. I knew I was going to get it in somewhere.
So, yeah. Poker. Poker fun.
Poker fun.
No poker, no fun. No.
We still need to find a good online poker game just to kind of play and mess around on.
I know. I've been playing online, but it's been, you know, on the apps and stuff. There's that one, that one game you sent me, I haven't looked into yet.
The Providence Poker on Xbox?
Yeah. Well, the ones that I've been playing online has been for real money. Yeah, I got Kevin into it. I'll send you the link if you ever wanted to gamble your money. But
Well, I'm probably going to be working on getting the money first.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as we're done here, I got to go do that recording for the voiceover gig or the voice acting gig.
Yeah.
So as soon as we're done here, I got to go do that.
Well, that'll be cool.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope I have the acting chops to do it.
Ooh, I think you got it.
I think I do. I think sometimes, you know, you have natural abilities, but you got to hone them. You know, you got to make them.
Right,
like,
right.
You can never think like, oh, I'm done. I'm perfect. I can just stop and just ride this along. Like, you always got to be looking to improve.
Exactly.
On anything that you find yourself good at.
Like poker. I'm super good at it.
Natural talent.
Uh-huh. But do you remember when I was in high school and I like was obsessed with it and I got that poker set for Christmas and we all played?
I do remember that because I remember Daddy would go all in like every hand.
I know. Yeah. I was like trying to explain small blind, big blind. That's what we have to do. And then we move the dealership and he's like, nah, everybody just ante in. Like, no, that's not how you play, Daddy.
That's how it is. I mean, we never played games correctly.
No, we didn't.
had like a general like guidelines.
Mm-hmm. And I got that computer and I started playing Poker Stars like all the time. I was like obsessed with Poker Stars.
I mean, I used to be quite the hustler myself in high school. I don't know if you know this, but I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh for money.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yep, I was quite the hustler.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Nope. Oh, what? You know, we used to get off the bus and our bus used to get to school fairly early. So we'd go in the cafeteria and bust out the Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Yu-Gi-Oh was big when I was in high school. This was like in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it started off with just a few of us there. And then, you know how then in high school, it was those long tables all put together. There was like a row of like five, six, or seven of them. It was like just one long row of tables put together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It turned into me and a few friends playing Yu-Gi-Oh to that whole row of tables in the mornings. Everyone coming and bringing their Yu-Gi-Oh cards and playing Yu-Gi-Oh against each other in the mornings before school.
I remember you and Jesse teaching me, and I used to play with y'all.
And so I got like crazy into it as far as like the strategy behind it and building decks and stuff like that. And so I started playing against people for money. And I would, you know, make $5 or $10, you know, every other morning.
You know, I remember you and Jesse getting mama or me to take you to that place.
Elski's.
Yes, Elski's. Yeah, and Mama was like, how do y'all get money for these? Mm-hmm. We just save.
Oh, that's the mama. Yeah, that's how I used to get my my extra money on the side.
Nice. Mm. Is that still a thing, playing Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh is still pretty popular. I mean, it's kind of a lot of games that they constantly come out with, like, new rules and new cards and stuff. It's kind of diluted now. Like, it's overly complicated, and it's. I mean, I still enjoy playing it every once in a while, but not with, like, the newer stuff.
Right.
So I'll play it, like, I have some of the games on, like, Xbox or the Nintendo Switch, and I'll play them every once in a while.
Gotcha.
Well, so, I mean, still kind of fun, but not as fun as it used to be back in the day.
Vera is into watching anime. There's a show called The Haunted House on Netflix. That's anime, and it's only one season on there, and she's watched it like three times. I tried to see if she would like Dragon Ball Z, but it's not on Netflix. Do you know where I could watch that?
Possibly Hulu. I think Hulu might have some of the original Dragon Ball as well as Dragon Ball Z. Or they call it Dragon Ball Kai. It's like the remake of Dragon Ball. It's not the remake of Dragon Ball Z. They just took Dragon Ball Z and cut a bunch of the fillers from it.
Oh.
The filler episodes and stuff. So it's a little more streamlined. But you can get the original Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Kai, and I think the new Dragon Ball Super.
Oh.
So definitely check Hulu.
Yeah, because I figure if she likes that, she's probably going to like that. I try to get her to watch. What's the one called? The guy, what is it? Naruto? She didn't want to watch that.
Naruto?
Naruto. There you go. Yeah. Naruto, yeah.
Naruto. No, you're going all Nosferatu. Nosferatu?
But anyways.
That actually brings up an interesting thing that just brought back a memory to me.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Nosferatu. We came up with this. It's me and my buddy Dave. You know, I went to Prague back in 2007 mm-hmm. for the original Gears of War World Tournament. Yeah, I placed, it was like 6th or 7th in the world for the preliminaries. And while I was over there, I made like the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you about that?
What?
How I almost became world champion of something?
Yeah, you did. It's been a while, though, since I've heard the story.
Well, I mean, I went over there, and it was like double eliminations, and I got eliminated in the first round and then came back and beat the guy that beat me and then went on to beat another guy. And then I got in the semifinals. I was like in the top four. Mm-hmm. And the guy I played against, he was the one who went on to win the entire thing. And I beat him one round. He beat me one round. And he beat me in the third round by one kill.
Ooh.
Yep. So it was super close.
Yeah.
And I went to a Microsoft interview the following day. And they asked me, they're like, hey, how does it feel to be the only one to beat the guy that won in any round? And I was like, well, what are you talking about? They were like, he didn't lose a round to anyone. You know, that whole time through the tournament. I was like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Dude, that's something, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, so I came pretty close.
Yeah. He probably cheated. You probably totally should have won.
Yeah, most likely. I mean, it's probably unfair. But, but yeah, I mean, you got the title and the plaque of, you know, world champion, but the prize itself was for all the people who got the paid trip to Prague. Mm-hmm. You know, we were over there for like 5 days. They gave us spending money. They took us out on nice, like a lunch cruise on the rivers.
How long was your flight?
Like 19 hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And then when we came back, I think we flew back to Atlanta to get, well, we left Prague and stopped in Paris. And then left from Paris and went to Atlanta to get the flight back to North Carolina. And so when we got to, I think our flight was delayed in Paris. So when we got to Atlanta, they were like, hey, we can get you on this next flight. And we're going to go ahead and upgrade you to first class.
Ooh.
So me and Dave, class. Yep, we were legit singing that song up in first class. We were drinking and going, first class. And I told Dave, I didn't do it, but I told Dave, I was like, I'm going to go to the stewardess and tell her to close that curtain. I don't want to see Coach. I was like, they disgust me. He's like, dude, don't do it. I was like, I'm not going to.
Oh, God.
I did. Like, they made you feel like a rock star over there. They made you feel like, and all the gamers and Microsoft guys and everything refer to you by your gamer tag.
Oh, so they're calling you Phantom?
So they're calling me Phantom, or they were calling me Fox.
Oh.
Or like my full name, Phantom Fox 4.
So, is Ford the last name and Fox the middle name?
Yeah, Fox is my middle name.
Oh, okay, all right.
But so Dave was like my personal assistant over there. When Microsoft guys would tell me, hey, you know, could you swing by this room for an interview at this time, room number this? I'd be like, yeah, no problem. I look at Dave and say, Dave.
Take that down.
room number this time, interview. And he'd be like, got it.
And then he got a free trip to Prague.
Yeah, yeah. You can at least be my personal assistant.
Yeah, your butler.
And what else? We were on the cruise, and I'm sitting there, and the Microsoft guys are doing like interviews and stuff in the back on like the very top, you know, where you can sit on top of the boat. In the very back, they're doing interviews with people. And I'm sitting there, you know, enjoying my lunch with Dave and stuff like that. And all the other gamers kind of rush back there trying to get their, you know, interviews and stuff in. And I'm just enjoying my lunch and enjoying the view. It was fantastic. I would love to go back to Prague. I still plan on one day going back to Prague. But so I'm sitting there eating my lunch. And one of the Microsoft guys comes up and says, excuse me, Phantom, do you mind if we get a quick interview with you? And I acted like I was annoyed. I turned to my side and I said, ah, yeah, all right.
Like you were just an actor.
Yeah, like I'm trying, yeah, like I'm trying to enjoy my meal and the beautiful view. And you're going to trouble me for an interview?
On a trip that you paid for?
On a trip that you paid for? With this free meal that you gave me? So, yeah, so it was stuff like that. And
didn't you and Dave like dress up like real nice?
Oh yeah, we had the clan, the syndicate at the time. And the idea behind it is that the syndicate has no sponsors, that we just show up at tournaments, and when guys show up in black suits, that's how you know they're part of the syndicate clan. So we rolled up rocking black suits, and instead of ties, we had dog tags with our gamer tags on them, like black dog tags and the silver engraving of our gamer tags.
Nice.
And we were also, me and Dave were quickly labeled the party boys of Prague. Because we legit went out every night.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
And, well, yeah, because I was 19.
And there's, like, the drinking age is 18, right?
The,
over there?
I think the drinking age over there is when you can walk. So, like, no shit. So we were, like, walking around, and I don't know if you know about this stuff called absinthe.
Oh, I remember the absinthe story. But first, before you go into this, when y'all got into, like, international air, I love that story.
Oh, God. You're talking about the drinks?
Yes.
All right. So the only thing I know is Scotch on the Rocks. That's it. That's all I knew at the time. I wasn't a big, you know, underage drinker back then. So yeah. We hit the international waters and, got stewardess over and it's like, she comes by and she's like, you guys want something to drink? And I was like, yeah, I'll take Scotch on the Rocks. And Dave put his order in. And she's like, you guys over 21? And I hang my head and I was like about to say, no. And Dave goes, yes. And I look at him and say, yes. And so we got our drinks, and I remember drinking it, and it was so strong, like it burned. And I was like, oh my God, dude, so how do people drink this shit? And let me tell you, after 5 days in Prague, partying and drinking absinthe, because apparently absinthe, you're supposed to take shots of it or dilute it and stuff or put sugar or something.
You're supposed to, they have this little thing that you put a sugar cube on and you pour it over the sugar cube into the little glass area and then you mix it. You're not supposed to drink it straight.
Yeah, we didn't do that. We we poured full glasses full of it and sat there and sipped on it. We drank it like a fucking Coca-Cola is what we did.
Okay, and this is, so people understand, if you get absinthe in the United States, it is not the same as European absinthe. Mm-hmm. There are certain ingredients in European absinthe that are not legal in the States because they're hallucinogenic. So, like, they make you hallucinate.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, go on.
So, we're sitting in the hotel drinking absinthe, just full glasses, just sitting there swinging it. And I start hallucinating that Dave is spilling his drink all over the carpet. I swear I could see a steady stream of absinthe coming out and onto the carpet. Now, for some reason, was worried about the carpet. And I couldn't tell him. I was so worried. I was like, dude, and I kept looking. And he was like looking around. And he's like, what? What is it? What is it? What is it? I was like, oh, you just got to.
No, stop it.
Yeah. And then I ended up getting sick. I threw up. And then I started blaming people for throwing up in my bed. I was like, who did this? Who threw up on my fucking bed?
Patrick on SpongeBob, who ate my candy bar?
Yes, exactly. And then we get hungry again, and we decide we're going to go up and get some KFC. That's what you do in Prague. It's like, hey, I want to try some European KFC. Let's see what the Prague Colonel has for us today. So we start walking down the street. I can't stop laughing. Dave is touching everything. He's like going along the walls and like the windows and like restaurants like Spider-Man. All right. We walk up in the KFC, get in line. And Dave is getting all jittery. He's like, man, I gotta go sit down. I gotta go sit down. I'm like, dude, go sit down. I'll order the chicken. I'll come sit down and I'll bring it to you. I went in great detail about how I was going to bring it to him. And finally he left. He went to sit down. And I couldn't stop laughing. I remember a woman in front of me turning and looking over her shoulder like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? And I'm just laughing in her face. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. And then finally I get to the counter and, you know, of course we're the foreigners over there. They don't speak English. So they start talking to me in Praganese. And, and so I right then and there invented the point and grunt, which is an international language where I just started pointing at the menu. I said, and I held up two fingers. And then I made like the little drink thing. I was like, like, you know, tilt my hand back. And I said, and I held up two fingers and they were like, nodding. They're like, oh, okay. And so it worked. So I got the chicken and drinks. I come sit down with Dave And he's all jittery, still just all over the place, just sitting there. And I sit down and give him his food. I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? He goes, gotta use the bathroom. So we just fucking go use the bathroom. He goes, I can't. So why not? And he points over to the hallway that leads to the back, you know, the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And there's a janitor, like a legit janitor, standing there with his mop and bucket. And he goes, there's a fucking guard. And I look at him and I said, dude, he tries anything, we'll whoop his fucking ass. Well, did I tell you, I'm sure I already told you about when I was over there, I almost got in a fight with some famous soccer player.
Yeah, you did, but mm-hmm. Go on. Oh, before you do that, let's take a commercial break.
Well, commercial break, and then we'll come back with the Brooks almost fighting a soccer player.
Yep.
Professional athlete.
Here's a word from our sponsor. And we're back.
Welcome back.
So go on about the soccer player that you
almost got to fight with. Oh, yeah, so the soccer player. There was this place over in Prague. They call it the four-story club. It's this four-story building. Each floor was a different club.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And like I said, me and Dave were going out every night. So we ended up meeting these guys from the UK who were backpacking, and they decided to come out clubbing with us. And we're standing in line, and there's this black dude with dreadlocks, and he's like fucking ripped. And he's signing autographs and taking pictures of people. He's like right in front of me. And the UK guys are going nuts behind me and Dave. They're like, oh, that's so-and-so, the football player for the blah, blah, blah. And, you know, me and Dave, we're already a few bars and clubs deep, so I'm already fucking gone. And I hit him on the arm. I hit the soccer player dude. I was like, hey, you a famous athlete? He looks back and he goes, yeah, man. He had, like, some weird accent, maybe Jamaican. I don't know. I was pretty gone.
Yeah. He was black, so it was totally Jamaican.
Yeah, it's probably Jamaican. but I was like, hey. Me too. I'm here for a video game tournament. And he started laughing. And that's originally what it was. It was a joke. But when he laughed at my joke, that made me angry.
Oh, he wasn't supposed to laugh.
I was like, well, I mean, he was. But for some reason, I guess maybe the way he laughed at it.
Oh.
I don't know. But, I mean, I guess sober Brooks would have been like.
It wasn't because he was black. No.
No, it wasn't because he was black. It was something about the way he laughed at my joke.
Oh, like.
That it flipped from being a joke to me being serious. And comparing myself to a professional athlete, I said, no, I'm serious. It's a world tournament. It's going to be on TV. And he laughed again. When we laughed again, this enraged me. I said, motherfucker. And then Dave grabbed me and said, what are you doing?
What's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? And he legit self told me. He's like, dude, he will kick your head off your shoulders. And I was like, I'm going to be in a tournament, Davey. It's like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, good. That's good. Everybody's proud of you.
Yeah, you're on the same level as him. You guys are professional athletes. All right, let's just get in here and have a good time, okay? But
this guy just happens to be a little bit more athletic than you.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably take him in some one-on-one Gears of War, like right now. Like, let's go.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah. I'm like, let's do this right now. Come on. But they, I mean, it's true over there, though. Like, all of them, like, they're stuck in the 80s. Like, I heard so much George Michaels and Michael Jackson over there, which I wasn't opposed to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. Like, they're behind us in lots of things, like, with digital marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I could speak other languages, I could, like, rule it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I had, like, legit the best time of my life over there, though.
Oh, man. That sounds like me with Mardi Gras. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to one day, once I achieve my goals and my dreams, I will return to Prague.
I think what we should do is have a Sis Bro tour where we broadcast from all different places in the world, you know, after the coronavirus blows over.
obviously. We got to wait for that to die down a little bit. Yes. A little too risky right now to be traveling the world.
Mm-hmm. But our first stop can be Prague.
I like it. You get to, I can show you around town.
Yeah. Show me all this. I want to kick a midget out of a window.
Yeah. Yep. That was another thing. It was the guy who would see me and Dave all the time and try to get us to go into the club. And he told me, he's like, because he told me, he's like, hey, American. I was like, yeah, American. He was like, oh, America. We're like, yeah, America. you come in here. And we're like, oh, now we're going this way. And he's like, come on, you come in. You kick a midget out of a window.
And then I stopped.
I started thinking. I was like, when am I going to get another opportunity like this? And Dave was like, Brooks. And I was like, okay, look, come on. We got to go. I'm sorry.
You kind of wish you had done it, right?
I kind of wish I had done it, though. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I missed out. But hey, you know, there's always a round two.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And y'all didn't get to go to see the Museum of Communism.
Yeah, it was closed up.
Oh.
We were trying to get in this museum and found out, like, we found posters that was like Museum of Communism, and we're like, oh, whoa.
It was like a teddy bear, it was, right? A
teddy bear holding an AK.
Sounds so inviting.
It's not the museum we thought it was.
While I was in New Orleans, we went to this museum. It was a museum, and it was the Hurricane Katrina Mardi Gras Museum. So, like, downstairs was all depressed. This is Hurricane Katrina. It showed you all the stuff and had, like, pieces of different things. And, like, you got all depressed. But then you go upstairs, and it's Mardi Gras Museum. They bring you back up.
That's nice. Yeah, right. Makes the high just seem that much better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And we were just so interested in all, like, the age of the buildings. But I bet Prague, you know, that history is way farther back than.
Well, that's the reason they held the they held the tournament there, because when they made Gears of War, the architecture and the structures in that game were based off of Prague.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why they held the tournament there. They actually held it in an old World War One bunker, which was pretty badass. Yeah, and then we actually got to go to this. We got to go on this tour. Part of our tour, we got to go to a castle and see the crown, see where they held the crown jewels and stuff like that.
And, castle.
This is where I get to circle back around to Nosferatu.
Oh.
Because while we were there, me and Dave were fucked up. And I had somehow come up with the concept of Nosferatu's colonic.
Oh, shit.
Yep, exactly. I told him, I said, dude. I said, dude, what if there was vampires, but instead of blood, they wanted shit.
Oh, God. Ew.
You walk in on a vampire, they're just holding someone upside down. They pull back and say,
that's like my zombie theory, remember? Yeah. Like the, you can be a zombies if you got butt fucked by one.
But so we'd go by doors in the old castle, and we'd be like, point at doors and go, Nosferatu's colonic.
Oh my God. Why are we so gross?
I don't know. Oh my God. But the stuff we came up with over there, and then I got super wasted on absinthe, because this is Dave's fault, though.
Okay, wait a minute. Before you go into another getting messed up story, do you think maybe you could have won the tournament had you not been getting messed up so much?
Possibly. I mean, I think I was pretty sober during the tournament.
Yeah, but you didn't get, like, rested up or anything.
I mean, that's true. I was enjoying it. I even invited the guy one tournament. I invited him out with me and Dave. I was like, hey, man, you want to go out with us tonight? And we were in the elevator. He was like, nah, man, you and your boy are doing enough partying for all of us. I said, hell yeah, we are.
No, I'm going to get ready for the tournament. You know, I'm trying to win it.
Lame.
Yeah. I mean, they were all about the tournament, but you was all about the experience.
I was. I really took in the culture and the environment. I mean, that was actually the first time I'd ever been, like, clubbing, bar hopping. I mean, I was 19, you know? So, you know, that was the first time I really kind of went out and just cut loose, and it felt great.
Yes. That's like when me and Jesse went to Hollywood, and there was three other couples there, and they were, like, going to bed early, and me and Jesse was like, fuck that, we going out. It's Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
But, all right, go ahead with your other drinking story.
Oh, yeah. So my other drinking story is, and I blame this on Dave, we were sitting in the hotel drinking absinthe, you know, pregame before going out. But we had this Microsoft dinner to go to. You know, super fancy. They already take us out to all these other lunches and dinners. Super fancy stuff, right? So we're sitting in the hotel, and I'm drinking. And I'm like, all right, man, I'm going to go use the bathroom. When I come back out, I'm going to kill this glass of absinthe, and then we're going to head out. So I go in the bathroom, and unbeknownst to me, Dave, like, fills my glass from, like, a sixth to, like, half.
Oh, God.
And I kill, like, half a glass of absinthe when I come out. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know. I was already fucking gone. And that just fucking did it for me. So this is recounts of what people tell me I did.
Oh, God. At the dinner.
Because I was too far gone. I don't remember this. But apparently, we walk in, and I remember, I mean, it looked nice, and there was, like, two long tables, one long table for all the Microsoft and the film crew and stuff like that, and another table for all the gamers. Mm-hmm. And apparently, and that's, like, I remember a little bit of the atmosphere, and that's it. But I walk over to the gamer table and I grab a chair and I slam it at the head of the table and I sit down at the head of the table.
Oh my God.
And I just kind of slump down and I'm just sitting there. And they bring out our food, which is some type of like apple seasoned chicken, grilled chicken or something like that. Super fancy. Mm-hmm. And Dave said that I took a bite of it and grabbed my plate, shoved it, and slid it halfway down the table and said, "This shit fucking sucks."
Oh my God.
And then I got obsessed with the echo in the restaurant. Now, mind you, this is a pretty fancy restaurant that has like other people in it other than us. Oh, so I just start going, and I grabbed the guy next to me, who's not Dave. I don't know who he was. I grabbed him. I said, "You hear that?" He's like, "What?" I said, "Listen." There it is again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
you kind of regret that.
I do regret that. I probably looked like an asshole.
Yeah.
That's out of character for me. But I also once again blame Dave for giving me a little extra absinthe there before I came back out of the bathroom and killed it.
Damn it, Dave. Next time you want a free trip, you ain't gonna take him.
Yeah, I'm not taking you.
Oh, and speaking of you winning the free trip and taking somebody, you had to get your passport pretty quickly, right?
It's true. I did have to get it because I knew I was like in the leaderboards, but I was like, they haven't sent me like any type of notification, no emails, no nothing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I get something in the mail saying, "Hey, you're going to Prague." And I'm like, "Well, what the fuck?"
Woohoo. They give you how long to get ready?
I mean, it was pretty short notice.
Yeah, like 3 weeks it. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you nor Dave had your passport.
Yeah. Yep. But luckily we knew somebody.
Yeah. You had a beautiful sister.
Named gorgeous.
Who worked at an immigration law firm that could get you your passport overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome.
Yeah.
I take
full
credit.
Without you, there'd be no party boys of Prague. There'd be just boys without passports.
Sad boys.
Sad boys without passports. So yeah. I mean, there was a bunch of other stuff that happened over there, but you know, I've already talked enough about the stories over there. Some stories should not be repeated. So,
oh God.
Yeah, we'll leave.
Go on.
So we'll leave those off the air for right now.
Well, when Jesse and I went to Hollywood, so we won a free trip to Hollywood. I won the trip and I took Jesse.
I earned mine though.
Oh. Yeah.
Well. How'd you get yours?
I kind of earned mine. I did a Twitter party. So this was like something that was done years ago. So I actually won this back in 2014, I think.
I had to play Gears of War for like 3 weeks straight, play it for like 2 to 3 days, sleeping for 2 and 3 hours, and then getting back up and doing it again.
Well.
But I'm glad for you and your Twitter party.
Well, this is what happened, right? So, like, there were two grand prizes. One was a free membership to Planet Fitness for your life.
Mm.
And that's what I wanted, you know? Mm. I didn't even know about the free trip to L.A.
Yeah.
So, they announced the free Planet Fitness winner for life. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't win it. And there was only 2 minutes left in the Twitter party. So, I was like thanking everybody for the party or whatever. I had fun. Mm. And then they're like, and our grand prize winner is Megan. And I'm like, what? Grand prize winner? Oh, there was 2 Planet Fitness lifetime memberships. Woohoo, I won. They're like, you're going on a free trip to Hollywood. I was like, oh, my God, what?
So, you thought, you're like, wait, so I won 2 lifetime memberships?
Yeah.
Like I can go to Planet Fitness in the afterlife?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, my ghost figure can be fit. Yeah. So I invited Jesse to go with me and we had so much fun. Like everybody was like, oh, we're going to go to bed early tonight. And me and Jesse was like, nope, we ain't. I think the first night we did because it was like a 4-hour difference. Yeah. So when it was like 10 o'clock there, it was really like 1 o'clock for us. Mm-hmm. Or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning for us. But then after that, so we went out one night and we were on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, where the Walk of Fame is and the stars and in front of the Chinese Theater where the feet print and handprints of all the actresses and actors are. Mm-hmm. And it was late. And then at midnight, all the shops started closing, all the souvenir shops. And it just, the streets got kind of dark. And then, like, the locals were looking at us like, hey, where are you ladies from? And we're like, oh, shit, we got to get out of here.
bail, we got to retreat.
And, like, at that same time, all of these cabs started lining up, asking us if we needed a ride. It's like they were looking for the people that were on vacation that just happened to stumble upon a really bad part of town at that time of night.
Pretty clever.
Yeah. So luckily we got a cab back to our hotel. This is before Uber and Lyft and all that got popular. So we actually had to take a taxi cab.
Like a caveman.
Right. And then we went to the Biggest Loser finale. That was what the trip was for. We were in the studio audience for the live Biggest Loser finale. And being in the studio audience is a lot different than I thought. Like, I knew that they tell you when to clap and cheer, whatever, but they were telling us when to stand up, when to sit down, which areas could clap, which areas, like, should cheer.
Was it, like, for the acoustics or something? Like,
I guess. But, like, one of the contestants failed as she was, like, walking up to get weighed.
Like, she passed out?
No, she just, like, tripped and fell over the steps.
Oh.
And everybody went, oh, you know? Yeah. And, like, the people did not want us to do that. They were like, shh, 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 shh. But what do you do when you see somebody fall, you know?
You gasp.
Yeah.
What you do, or laugh, depending on how funny it is. Right. How funny the fall was.
It was pretty funny.
It was a pretty funny fall.
When she came out, people gasped because she looked anorexic, like did not look healthy at all. And people were like, oh, and like they were telling us to cheer and like nobody wanted to cheer for her because she looked sick. You know, we didn't want to contribute to her.
To her illness.
Yes. So, and then after that, we left. Jesse got an autograph for me. Because we got a book from one of the coaches from The Biggest Loser. Like, we got these swag bags, which you probably got swag too from Microsoft when you went. But they gave us, like, spending money. They gave us that book. They gave us, a Planet Fitness gym bag. They gave us tennis shoes, like, free shoes, New Balances. Oh, pretty nice. T-shirts, just lots of stuff, bracelets, stuff like that. And so she went and got my book signed. And we took a limo there to the Biggest Loser. We took a limo back to the hotel. A limo picked us up from the airport. A limo took us back to the airport. Oh, yeah. We was in style. So
very nice.
After the Biggest Loser finale, we went and ate at, like, this fancy sushi restaurant, which was across the street from our hotel, which was the Mondrian on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy.
And what we wanted to do was we wanted to see somebody famous. I mean, we're in fucking Hollywood. We're going to see somebody.
There's a famous person around here somewhere.
Yeah. So we, after we eat, I'm like, let's go back up to the room so I can get some spending money. And I think I was smoking at the time. So I was like, so I can get my cigarettes. And then we're going to go find somebody famous. So we go back to the hotel. We get into the elevator. And there's these two guys in the elevator. And they ask us what floor, and I'm like, 3, please. And he's like, oh, are you from the South? And I'm like, yeah, I'm from North Carolina. And I look at him. Yeah. I look at him, and I grab his arm, and I'm like, oh, my God, do I know you? And he's like, I don't know. I've been to North Carolina. And it was Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block. Like, what? Yes, we finally saw a famous person, and it was in our hotel. We didn't have to go anywhere. And he was super nice. He took pictures with us. He let me hug him because I was going in for a hug, and then I was like, wait a minute. Can I hug you? Because I didn't want to invade his personal space, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, sure you can. And then I felt him up a little. I mean, Jordan Knight. He's the cutest one from the New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Jesse didn't know who he was, but she pretended like she did, but she really did not know who he was. No. I was like,
wait a minute, were you in NSYNC?
Right. We got off the elevator. We were like dancing, and I was like, Jesse, yeah, that was. And she said, yeah, it was Jordan Knight. Well, I said his name was Jordan Knight while we were in the elevator. I was like, yeah, but who is Jordan Knight? She's like, isn't he like a singer? I'm like, yeah, but for who? She had no idea.
The Jordan, like, Knight Band,
yeah,
obviously.
Right. I mean, he did have like one solo song, but people know him from New Kids on the Block. You know what I mean? Anyways, that was like, we had so much fun. We drank, which we were of legal drinking age then, because this was like 6 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was over there, so it was legal over there.
Right, right. It was totally legal over there.
Which they had this amazing thing. Me and Dave, we were up all night and got some breakfast, had some McDonald's, and like the sun was already up. It gets pretty bright like early over there. And there's like these people that go around and like they look like ambulances and they take drunk people off the streets in strollers.
What?
Yeah. Like they went down into like the subway looking area and they came back up with like this drunk passed out dude in a stroller and strapped in. And like he just passed out and they just let him up. And I was like, where the fuck do you think they take them?
like they just cleaning up the streets.
Yeah, they just go around and like after every night they just go around and pick up all the drunks. It was amazing. I was like, what? That's like, wow, that's super all efficient. Right.
So when we go back over there, you got to pretend to be some drunk passed out guy so you can see where they take you.
Maybe hook me up with like a hidden camera and microphone.
Yeah.
That way when they pick me up and take me out, I'm like, I'm in.
See, that's what we need to do. This is such a great idea. We need to go to all these different countries and places that have like these myths or things that, you know,
and get drunk and pass out and see what happens.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We need to find out. We need to get to the bottom of these
issues. We'll have a mini series called What Happens If You Get Drunk and Passed Out in Foreign Countries.
Oh God. I'm gonna end up being in like the sex slave industry. You know that, right?
Wait, how come I'm not gonna be in it? You don't know that.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Oddly enough, the show is gonna be on ABC.
If you gotta shave your beard, you know?
What?
I put on a push up bra.
Oh, there's men sex slaves, I think.
Okay. I don't think you want to be, though.
I think you're that sexist. I think I can be whatever I want to be. If I want to be a sex slave, I'll be a sex slave, damn it.
There you go. I mean,
we'll try to stifle my dreams.
You might like it.
I mean, maybe if there's good money in it. I mean, I don't think there
that's
is.
That's why it's called a slave.
It's probably, I mean, I got needs.
That's the reason why people have the sex slave industry.
They got needs.
But hey, maybe we could like bust up a sex slave industry ring,
like a whole ring. Yeah, they'll make a movie out of us.
Oh my God. And all because like,
so we got brother drunk. Sister podcaster, like there, here's a movie pitch right here. All right, I got a movie pitch right now. All right, brother, okay. Sister podcaster go out on the road and around the world, and not just the road, because there's you have to go fly to other places,
right?
But
they
go out around the world to see what happens when, you know, you get drunk and they pick you up and see where they take you. Well, they get picked up by the sex trade. Mm-hmm. What do you call them? Sex trade companies? Industry?
The sex slave trade industry. Sex
slave trade industry, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we get in there and we have to escape because they got us now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we form the sex slave underground railroad, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Right, because we got to escape, but we can't leave all the other sex slaves behind. Okay?
No. Mm-mm.
Or they'll get it in behind. Okay. So that's probably going to be the catchphrase of the movie right there.
No one left behind.
No one left behind.
To get it from the behind.
To get it from behind.
Okay, perfect.
And so we lead the way. We lead them out, and then we tell our story.
We do. Yeah. And while when we tell our story, we're still going to be wearing our sex slave apparel.
Yep, because they just picked us up, and we're having a press conference. They're probably going to make some statues of us in our sex slave outfits.
Oh my God, you like, got fake eyelashes.
Like the weird, like the Japanese woman lipstick, where it's just like the on the middle of the lips.
I think about Hocus Pocus.
Yes, exactly. Yes. All right.
Yep. And that's me and you on the cover of our DVD.
Yep. Now we're in like thigh-high leggings.
All right, just disclaimer, we do not think being a sex slave is funny.
Yeah, but just like, yeah, but if we were, it'd be hilarious.
It would really be funny. But just know that we would save as many sex slaves as we could.
Yes, all of them. Not one left behind.
To get it from behind.
Yeah, because there'd be one that would want to stay there. But like, no, I can't do it.
Yes,
my legs. I can't move my legs.
Like, it's like,
you had to, like, emerge from, like, an underground cave carrying them.
Wrap your legs around me.
Like the scene from the scene from Pineapple Express where he comes out playing golf in his underwear.
Yes. Yep. I saved you. You saved me.
Oh, man.
This is, like, the best movie ever.
Yeah, I mean, aside from the mermaid one.
Oh, okay. Of course.
I mean, I think both of them. If anyone, like I said, if anyone's listening, big time movie producer, mm-hmm. you know, someone's going to hear this and be like, hey, wait a minute. These two are onto something. This is an untapped story industry, you know?
We got to go over there and become sex slaves so that we can get some intel.
That's true. Kind of like how that guy went and joined biker gangs before he started doing Sons of Anarchy.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to spend probably a few years as sex slaves, actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to get in there.
You spend a few years. I'll just spend a couple of days.
All right. I'll let you know what happens.
Yeah.
Like, write your letters and stuff and sneak it out.
Dear Megan, I've learned I'm gay.
I have learned to live with penis. Well, I'm not fond of it. I mean, it's all right, I guess.
There's this comedian that talks about he's moving to California. And right before he leaves, he talks to his dad. And he's thinking his dad's going to give him some words of wisdom. And all his dad says is, don't go over there and get gay. And he has this huge storyline about how he goes over there. And he gets gay just to piss his dad off. He says that he's in, like, this doghouse behind a gay club. And the only time he sticks his head out is to give HJs and BJs.
That's not familiar. Who was that? I think I've seen that.
Oh, my God. He talks about how there's during, like, the gay pride parade, there's a camera there, and he's on, like, a skateboard. And he's just being pushed down. Through, like, the gays and just giving them HJs all the way down. And he's like, Dad, is this what you wanted, Dad?
This is not familiar.
That's going to be like us with sex sleep. Yeah. They're going to take it a little too far.
Oh, God.
What if we ended up, like, working our way up the sex slave ladder?
Is that thing, do they promote within inside or... Like, hey, you're a really good sex slave. Like, you know your shit. You know? Yeah. You ever thought about, you know,
management? Working for us?
Yeah, management position? You know, get out of that position you're in and you get in a management position?
Right. And then you become the sex slave master.
Yeah. That's a whole different story, right?
I know, right?
Maybe an alternate ending.
There we go. All right. I think that's a good note to end on.
It's definitely a note to end on.
So, yeah. If we have any listeners that happen to have been sex slaves before and they want to tell us about it, please.
Well, you're going to be like, we apologize, but you're like, if you want to talk about it, you know, we'll bring you on the show.
We will. Could you imagine? I've got questions. I don't know about you, but I've got questions.
I mean, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Be lying if I didn't say I was.
Like, do they allow you to bathe? Because that's kind of gross.
You mean if they didn't? What if they preferred you not to be bathed?
Ew.
They're like, give me the dirtiest one.
Oh, my God. The dirty, cummiest one you got. Ew. Ew. I feel like they would be super crusty.
Just the way I like it. All right, we need to end this. We're gonna do it.
We're crossing some lines here.
Yeah, lines are like way back there. We left them way behind a long time ago. That's the thing about the Sisbro show. There are no lines.
Right. Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Okay then.
All right.
Well, that's it for the Sisbro show. Tune in next week when we talk about something else completely inappropriate. I mean, you would think that we couldn't get worse than this, but, man,
yeah. We can. Mouse Roach's Colonic, the underground sex slave railroad.
We can do it.
Yeah. Push the limits.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.